WrestleMe Peter.
WrestleMe Peter.
It's WrestleMemus Day 2.
Yeah.
In some ways, the best day, I think.
Yes.
Because we've done one already today.
Yes.
You've heard that. That was episode
that
one.
That was episode one, yeah.
And I feel like we're in the groove now.
We're in the groove now. Yeah, yeah. This one's going to be shorter, but for my money, funny as fuck.
Oh.
Because I love this old guy.
You cannot. There's something beautiful about WrestleMemus when you uncover something that somehow. I mean, I'm like 46.
Yeah.
I went 46 years without ever discovering what we're about to discover. And I sort of find myself thinking, why has no one brought this to my attention before?
Yeah. It seems like dereliction of duty on their behalf,
does.
Really.
I do not understand why this guy isn't one of the key touchstones of British culture that everyone sort of goes, oh, you know what? He drove so fast, it was like fucking Tom Thumb.
Yes.
We'll get there and explain it. We're going to be doing today Big Daddy's final match that was ever screened on ITV. Mm. It's Big Daddy, Tom Thumb and Kashmir Singh versus Task Force 3. Task Force 3, believe it or not, says Kent Walton. Believe it, they're basically doing a Nazi gimmick.
Yes.
Astonishing. So, let's have a little bit of context very, very quickly. World of Sport was how most people in this country would have seen wrestling, certainly on television. It was on ITV and it ran every week, every Saturday, from 1965. It was on at tea time. It would last for about 45 minutes.
And the Queen would sometimes watch it.
The Queen did sometimes watch it, yeah. It made household names of a lot of the wrestlers who appeared on it. I mean, most notably, Big Daddy.
Yeah.
And, of course, his eternal nemesis, Giant Haystacks. There were, after this episode, which is Big Daddy's last, you would have thought that they'd have ended with Big Daddy, wouldn't you?
Yes.
That you're like, it's the last episode, so Big Daddy is bowing out. There were four more episodes after this one.
Okay.
One of which was a compilation of WWF bouts.
Okay.
Towards the end of its run, World of Sport had begun taking WWF programming as well. And that really was a clever tactic by Vince McMahon, where you could see these incredible big arenas full of these larger-than-life stars.
Compared to what was being presented here.
People were watching the Hart Foundation.
Right,
yeah. And then you'd cut back and it would be Kashmir Singh and Tom fucking Thumb. So World of Sport comes to an end finally on the 17th of December 1988. The last show is a retrospective of all the years that they've had before. Mm. But this is from the 12th of November 1988. It had been taped the month before at Rickmansworth's Watersmeet Theatre.
Right.
Watersmeet Theatre is still there. Mm. Another one to add to the great map of British wrestling pilgrimage.
We've not kept track.
No. I do think to myself, though, I mean, it'd be nice if a publisher approached me and I didn't have to go and approach a publisher. That's the last thing I need to be doing, going to people and going, can I do a book about wrestling and having them go, no.
Get
so,
out.
Yeah. So, get I mean, out. Look, if you run a sports publishing and you've got deep pockets, why not say, yeah, that sounds like something that we can afford to lose money on. But Watersmeet is still there. I did have a look at what's coming up next. Come What May, the ultimate tribute to Moulin Rouge.
Ooh.
Followed by Mother Goose Cracks One Off, an adult pantomime.
Why do they always do these sort of Jim Davidson? Like, I thought we stopped doing this like a long, long time ago.
Oh, fun and filthy adult panto for all you big boys and girls. Leave the kids at home and grab your tickets for this filthy night out.
Yeah. There's never anything absolutely grotesque on those things, is there?
Oh, this is... you see it all.
Penetration.
Nuts. It's disgusting. And they're all dressed as fucking Mother Geese. And worth saying as well, Mother Goose cracks one off. Mm. Not the phrase, is it?
No.
Cracks one out.
Crack one off. I'd say crack one off.
Would you?
Yeah.
Ah, I think this has been written by people who are from further
from
north than Birmingham. I love the fact that I would say to myself, this is probably, you know, written locally or whatever, and it's just one bloke just going, hey, fucking, get me Rickmansworth Theatre. Hey, Rickmansworth Theatre, I've got a play that is so fucking dirty, it'll curl your fucking pubes. Oh, God, sure, yeah, of course you can come in for a month. Oh, God, please don't call again. I've got another fucking mug. It sounds appalling. One of the... the people that's actually returning from last year. Sleeping with Beauty was last year's, and they
Sleeping with Beauty. I mean, just have
a bit milder, isn't it?
Yeah,
a bit milder that one. Yeah. Shagging Beauty, you probably can't sleeping have shagging. Beauty. I mean, yeah. I mean, this is the Waters Meet Theatre.
Wanking silently while she sleeps. Beauty.
Currently running is Come What May, the ultimate tribute to Moulin Rouge. We couldn't possibly have a
Come What May. Oh no! Oh no!
I can. I'll do fucking one of
Moulin
that.
Rouge. Not wearing their pants.
An old French tart.
Can.
She can. They bill one of the actresses on it, which they just sort of said, returning. I'm going to do the voice now. I like the voice. It also helps. I've got quite a deep voice at the minute.
Yeah.
You might wonder why that is. Very simple. I simply acknowledged Roman Reigns as my tribal leader, and I became a man.
Yeah.
Hey. They bill it as saying, returning from last year's UK tour of Sleeping with Beauty is the...
Was he commentating at the Royal Jewels?
I bet Wade Barrett loves a fucking
definite
dirty...
Definite Wade Barrett's dirty.
It was an absolute cornucopia of filth. I couldn't believe some of the things that were being said, but I wanted to hear more. Repulsive.
Getting interviewed with a really harsh key light outside the centre, outside the theatre.
Yeah,
me and Doris loved it.
Yeah, it ended too soon. And not unlike me good self. Wade Barrett, WWE, it would say. They have an actress there and they've said...
I nearly spread me muck. Oh, weird. You're disgusting.
I like it when people don't quite get it. It was so good I jizzed in me fucking jockeys. Right, can we do another one? Yeah, I liked it so much.
I ejaculated cum over the front of the... the person in front of me.
It might be at the Waters meet, but it's not water that was shooting out of my erect penis. It was ejaculate. Good, you got what you need.
Yes, cool. I'll just delete that.
They mentioned this actress returning is they bill her as the extremely horny Alish Stout Cairns returns as Fairy Hanny.
She's just doing her best. She's not known as horny.
Billed as extremely horny. Oh, this in no way will become a problem when I have to leave the theatre. I am sure. Oh, I'm listening to you talking your dirty talk.
There's a gigantic wrestling man outside.
Yeah, I see in the programme.
Extremely horny.
£7.
I need somebody to wipe up the jizz that shot out of my cannon-like cock. Oh, you're the worst.
Oh. So, Big Daddy's final match.
Big Daddy's final match.
I'm definitely a big dad. It opens with a little promo where they have the bad guys. They are wearing Nazi-era World War II tin helmets.
Yeah.
When I was growing up, you saw a lot of those around.
You don't see them quite as much anymore, do you?
Don't. In the old days, you go to like people's like granddads. You'd sort of like pop over to their grandparents. They'd cook you lunch and everything. And the granddad would invariably come in with a box full of unused grenades from the war, or a Luger.
Yeah.
Everybody had loads of plunder from the war. But those tin helmets you used to see everywhere. You know, as a kid, I remember you'd go like down to allotments and people would have World War II tin helmets on the top to stop them banging their eyes on poles. You know, so those are, it looks more unacceptable nowadays because you'd have to actually really go and search.
Yeah, you'd have to go to an army surplus, give the man a little look and go, let's see what you got behind
Yeah, and they'd be £70. Yeah. You know? £70 because there's a bullet hole here that's unsurvivable, you know. But back then, I mean, they were like just sort of, it would be like wearing, I don't know, a fucking chomp wrapper on your head. You know, you'd find them everywhere. They are the three villains. Bulldog Brown, German John Wilkie, and Cyanide Sid Cooper.
Yeah.
German John Wilkie, very much the only one who has a full Nazi outfit on.
Yes.
Part of his gimmick. John Wilkie, you might be. Is that a German name?
No, I wouldn't say so.
No, it's not. He was previously billed as the hard man of the Potteries. He was from Stoke-on-Trent. They have a manager with them as well, who, in case you don't feel like the Nazis are a clear enough indicator that these are the bad guys, they have given them a stereotypical Arab manager.
Mm.
Of course, in 1988, we didn't have anyone but British people in Britain. So it's just some
Arab
fucking bloke from like Monmouthshire who is having to do what he believes is an Arabic voice.
Yeah.
The thing is, obviously there was no way to check. So he's just gone, I'll put on a voice of that sort of area.
This is like when they found those cards, those kind of wrestling cards and the Iron Sheik, and it said catchphrase, and it was all in Arabic, and he said, this is untranslatable because it's in Arabic. It's like, what?
This guy has gone, I'm not quite, well, is Jackie Mason?
Is he
an Arab? Is he an Arab?
Yeah. Well,
Task Force 3 are here today to destroy Big Daddy once and for all. Make no mistake.
Make no mistake. It definitely goes over into being quite a big Jewish caricature.
Massively, yeah.
He was a guy called Tony the Brain Francis. The people that you meet towards the end of the World of Sport era, there's not a lot of detail about them around. They just weren't on the sort of, you know, the radar. He has very much stolen Bobby Heenan's nickname there.
Yes.
Bobby Heenan has had that for probably 3 years by this point. And so he has just gone, I'll take a bit of that, take a bit of this, put it all together, and it will be less than the sum of its parts. And then we cut from the three slightly unconvincing Nazis. We cut to Big Daddy's team, and we get to hear for the first time from the under 5 foot tall Tom Thumb.
Rubbish. Let's tell them what we're going to do to these monkeys today.
Oh, my God.
Rubbish. Let's see what we're going to do to these monkeys today.
It is. I honestly think this. It's impossible to do that line as he does it because it is so flat.
Yeah.
That it's so difficult to do.
Rubbish.
It's like the great. That was good. It's like the
rubbish. Let's tell them what we're going to do to these monkeys today.
Today.
It's if you were an actor, you'd go, kind of go, I do a lot of method. I've played Hamlet and everything. You go, can you do Tom Thumb's line from Big Daddy's Final? I'll give it a try. Rubbish. We're going to show these monkeys.
No, too much. Too much.
You're not an actor. Give me your Academy Award back. Until you've passed the Tom Thumb test, you cannot call yourself an actor.
I love Tom Thumb.
Oh, he puts his thumbs up as well. And I know it's in his name, Tom Thumb.
Yeah.
He's got fucking massive thumbs.
He has got massive thumbs.
Really big, sort of like meaty, great sausage thumbs. Confusingly, it's Tom Thumb. We know that. Mm. He's wearing Robin Hood gear.
Yeah, well, I don't know what that was all about.
I can't understand what this guy's fucking gimmick is. It's confusing. Kent Walton also says, let's go over to Big Daddy and his merry men. So there is a sort of sense of going, no one has sat down and gone, you do know Tom Thumb isn't part of Robin Hood. Sorry, he isn't? But no, he is. He's the little one who, oh my God, you're right. Do you know what? I heard it and I actually thought Little John.
Mm.
But no, you're right, no, aren't you? Yeah, yeah. Tom Thumb, come here. You're fired.
Oh, no.
There was.
Oh, no. I'll leave now.
This is the worst day of my life.
What will my wife say?
I'm going to end it all. Oh, I don't know how he feels. He's not the first Tom Thumb. There was a British dwarf wrestler called Tom Thumb who was born in 1931 in London. And he moved to America in the 20s. And he had a long, long career as one of the leading performers of limited stature. Competed all the way through from the 20s until the 80s.
Mm.
He died in 1981. He was 3'10" and he was known as the Major and the Hercules of midget wrestlers. We did have a long tradition of performers of limited stature. Most famously probably was Lord Littlebrook, who was born in Tottenham. He was 4'4". A guy called Roger Littlebrook, the most British name of all time. It's like something out of the Two Ronnies. And, have you met Roger Littlebrook? You know, he was, again, a performer. He performed against Tom Thumb for a number of years. He used as his finishing move the giant swing, which is sort of a good little bit of the humour that those particular performers used to inject into their matches. Mm. They were never competitive. What they were there to do was to just entertain the crowd. And they have far more in common with vaudeville and circus than a lot of the other wrestling does. And you have to remember, of course, wrestling does come from that vaudeville tradition. They were very much there as a sort of stopgap between wrestling and clowning. And so they have a unique tradition, which we don't really see very much of into the present day.
Mm.
It has sort of ebbed and died away. But Lord Littlebrook would perform at WrestleMania 3, and he was in a match with two other a tag team on each side of limited stature performers, alongside Hillbilly Jim and King Kong Bundy. Mm. And so that was a very high profile match he did. He then went on, Lord Littlebrook, to become a trainer. And he trained some wrestlers like Butch Reed and Colonel De Beers, which really does suggest that, you know, he'd been around for so long and he'd seen it all and he knew how the game worked. Mm. This is not the classic Tom Thumb. This is a guy who was called Neil Evans. At one point in the match in this, Kent Walton does go, Tom Thumb there, doing very well. Real name Neil Evans. Don't ruin the magic, Kent. There is no benefit to us knowing he's called Neil Evans. He was active in the UK from 1972 until 1989. He was from Braintree in Essex, and he was billed on a couple of posters that I've seen as the popular Braintree personality. Little man, big heart. He was a huge fan of wrestling as a teenager, but he stood barely 5 foot tall. He was running fan clubs, and he was a pen pal with a load of other wrestling fans. And he was accepted into a gym, and he was trained. And he made his debut in World of Sport on television. He would take on quite a lot of the big rule breakers at the time, like Sid Cooper, who he meets here, and Bobby Barnes, and most memorably of all, Crybaby Jim Breaks. Mm. Jim Breaks was a lightweight. He was quite short. And his big thing, he was called Crybaby because he would get frustrated and lose his temper and he would stamp up and down. Mm. People hated him, but he was a brilliant technical wrestler. And there is Tom Thumb's first match in World of Sport. It takes place in the late 70s. He's got hair, but the same costume. And he takes on Jim Breaks. And what you see is, when he does that monkey's line, you go, this guy has no place in a British wrestling ring. And when you see him perform, he is like a proto Rey Mysterio. And his match with Jim Breaks is a masterclass, where he is just this, he's like something out of Midsummer Night's Dream. Mm. He is skittering across the ring. He is through Breaks' legs, Breaks' absolutely furious. Breaks will grab him and Tom Thumb will manage to sort of like wriggle out and just go under his legs. He's back and he's too fast.
Yeah.
Breaks cannot shut him down. Kent Walton commentates on the match and he is just chuckling with delight throughout the match, just going, well, this is really something special. And the crowd react to him so brilliantly. He's like a sprite. He's like a woodland sprite who all these years later has somehow found himself having to perform in Rickman's work in this terrible match. Big Daddy, the biggest name in British wrestling, even up to this point. He comes out with his bear skin on. Mm. He was a former Coldstream guard. Who knows? I mean, that certainly was a thing that he'd had right from the start of his career. He was earlier, before he was Big Daddy, when he was just Shirley Crabtree, he was also known as the Battling Guardsman. So it might be a Sergeant Slaughter thing where he did it long enough that he began going, oh, actually, you know, I might not have done it properly.
But I've probably had a longer tenure.
I did it so long. I think it's it all evens out in wash. He comes out, he's wearing his Union Jack waistcoat that's homemade because he's much too big for normal clothes. And he's great big sort of nappy with straps that he wears on. And I mean, it is just everything that you would say was wrong with Big Daddy is on display in this match. It's also really, really poorly booked as a match. Mm. And as a way of going, this is the final appearance, the final performance. It's really lackluster. Mm. It makes a lot of mistakes. There's really early on a Nazi salute from John Wilkie as he's introduced. Nobody reacts to it. And it is funny how time, further we've gone from having, if you like, people around who were involved in World War II. Mm. With those people all dead, everyone's now, you can't do that. And back then, you could do it. And you did do it. And nobody responded. Everyone was like, just doing a Nazi salute like we all do. Yes. You know, it's a really odd thing to see. Daddy comes in. Yay! He says, yay! Like Roland fucking Rat. Yay! And the kids go mad for it. Tom Thumb is waiting for his intro and he looks a bit nervous about the whole thing. And the referee kind of goes, Tom Thumb! And he sticks his big thumbs up. And someone on Twitter mentioned this when I'd put this up because I was like, this is so good. I can't wait to do this for WrestleMemes. Someone, and I've forgotten their name, that's very much a WrestleMe thing that we do. People help out and we repay them with nothing. He said, it's like Marek Larwood playing a character and it's absolutely bang on. I find myself thinking, wouldn't it be nice to make the Tom Thumb movie finally?
With Marek Larwood.
With Marek Larwood. I imagine there are producers all over who are just going, I mean, this is a non-star.
We just need a project for Marek Larwood.
Yeah. I mean, I would be happy to see that.
Yeah. I like those videos where he just walks around.
Oh, they're great. I watch them all the time. We share our login on the WrestleMe thing for YouTube.
Yes.
You can see that all I do is watch Marek Larwood's walking videos and Crime Watch.
And old Crime Watch. And yeah. I've started watching That Man Who Went Mad.
Graham Linehan,
yeah. His stuff. And then that plugs you into a load of all fucking craziness.
I notice if I watch Marek Larwood's walking videos, I don't suddenly get like half of my thing is just walking videos.
No.
If I watch Crime Watch, I don't get a load of true crime.
Yeah.
Watch 10 seconds of Graham Linehan. It's like, you are having nothing but this.
Yes.
That is all you're going to get. Cancelled. You're not cancelled off fucking YouTube, I'll tell you. I did like one thing about this, which is you have a group of Nazis on one side and then you've got Big Daddy's group. And looking at them, this misshapen clump of men. They're everything the Nazis would have hated. They're a man with dark skin. They're this great, unproductive, fat lump. And then you've got Britain's smallest professional wrestler. It's absolutely great to have them against the forces of evil. It's a ragbag of non-alpha men who everybody loves. Daddy gets in, he starts it off. The heels have to do all the work. They run at Daddy. Daddy doesn't just not do moves. He won't even go near people. So he will stand there. They have to run at him and bounce off him.
That's off his belly, yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
They do that. It's so... There's a bit as well where Daddy does a little soft shoe shuffle. Where like he's an athlete. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Those silky skills. I was like, oh, you are taking the piss. You big trolls. He tags in Tom Thumb, and Tom Thumb is phenomenal. He comes in, nimble the man is. He does this lovely flying mare. There was something nice about watching that match with Jim Breaks. He does exactly the same thing. Mm. Like this routine that he's got that he does. Mm. And he's been doing for 20 years.
Yeah.
And it's just beautifully done. He's just like Rey Mysterio from Braintree, not Tijuana, at the time when an industry was dying. And he's really good at it. At one point, Daddy tags sort of back in. The heels all run out of the ring. And Daddy sort of turns over and starts going, ooh, with his bum. And it's a bit like him sort of going, this is the last time I'll get to do it. I wouldn't want to leave anything in ring. So I'm going to offer up my big bum. Come what may, the ultimate Moulin Rouge tribute here at the Waters Meet Theatre. Let's give it a go. No one goes for it. He's like, well, do you know what? At least I scratched that itch.
I did my best.
You can't say that I wasn't open to it.
Show my bum off.
In comes Kashmir Singh as well. Indian born, now in Wolverhampton. Mm. Wearing, I noted, the Hulk Hogan gold trunks and red knee pads.
Right,
a little
sort of
Hogan nod there. he also worked as a referee, Kashmir Singh, who was a very popular guy. Good technical wrestler by all accounts. He worked as the less exotic referee, Jason Singh. And at the end, the timekeeper obviously knows him better as Jason Singh.
Mm.
So they got the winners, Big Daddy, Tom Thumb, and Jason Singh. It's like, hold it together for one Big Daddy's last match.
Kashmir Singh.
Cyanide Sid Cooper, there's a lovely bit. And Cyanide Sid Cooper, one of the great villains of British wrestling. One of the great inspirations on William Regal. William Regal wrote about him in his autobiography, just talking about how he was one of the great villains. He is really good. There's a lovely little bit here where he starts in on the crowd and he grabs some of their stuff and throws it. And then a woman sort of misses a kick at him from her chair. And he again goes over, rips up a kid's photo of Big Daddy. And the woman just comes after him. I looked at him and I thought, this is the sort of Britain we've lost. Where you could just sort of mess about with a crowd.
Yeah.
And a crowd would have a pop back. And you just sort of go, sit down, you silly old cow. You know, it seemed so free and exciting.
Cyanide Sid Cooper looks a little bit like one of the bushwhackers.
He does. He's very bushwhackery. Yeah, he really is. And, you know, credit to him. He never went down that route. He would actually retire pretty much after this match. He was retired within a year after after a 30-year career. And I think he very much sort of thought, well, if the telly's gone, you know, I've already had this long thing with Big Daddy, which is going nowhere. Mm. There is no point carrying on. And so he went on to have a long retirement. In fact, he only died a couple of years ago. I think Cyanide Sid Cooper, one of the great missed opportunities was someone sitting down with him and saying, please download your entire memories into this long 8-volume book because I think it would have been phenomenal. And it's a real shame. And I blame us for this. He was alive when we started this podcast. I was aware of him. One of the first wrestlers I saw, in fact, I saw him performing in Brighton and the first show I ever went to. And I was aware even then that he was good. Mm. In fact, I said he retired in 88. That was in 91. So he did keep going. The world of British wrestling, I realise, online, when you have moments like that,
and
where
you
sort of
that
go,
be true. Yeah, yeah,
you read something.
You're just reading it, like, and they just sort of saying, "Yeah, it was definitely that year." And you're like, "I saw him in '91."
I've suddenly worked out. No, that's 3 years out. is he even dead? if you're not dead, come in, mate. We'd love to have a chat with you. Cyanide Sid Cooper gives Tom Thumb a tombstone pile driver, then called a reverse pile driver. And Tom Thumb is counted out. And while the heels are cheering, Daddy just wades in with his plastic bucket, starts whacking them around the head, absolutely not pulling his shots, going crunch. And the referee, they go, well, Big Daddy's got a public warning. And Big Daddy, what? Why?
Like, it's his last match.
The old Hacksaw Jim Duggan defense. What? How on earth is that, like, got me in trouble?
It is a plastic.
I would have thought, wouldn't it have been funny, though, if they'd have just gone, Big Daddy's been disqualified. So the winner in Big Daddy's final match by 2-0, Task Force 3, the Nazis. The Nazis
winning. The Nazis have won.
Amazing. There's another tombstone done by German John Wilkie on Singh, and then the camera stays on Singh when he's on the floor, but you can see German John Wilkie's feet moving around, and I'm fairly sure he's goose-stepping and probably firing up another salute. So just as well they decided to stick it on Kashmir Singh. Daddy gets Bulldog Brown from Bradford. He gives him a big belly bump, and it's the worst splash you've ever seen. By this point, Big Daddy is not confident about being getting back up off the floor.
No.
So he goes down, but he stays in a sort of horrible spider crouch because he's like, if I go all the way down, I'm not getting back up.
The thing about Big Daddy is, like, he had a big fat, like, the biggest, widest body you've ever seen in your life.
Yeah.
Well, he's actually got, like, this weird sort of flat protuberance at the back of his the back of his shoulders, sort of thing. So it goes up like that, but it's not. It's obviously he's not been working out.
No,
it's just some kind of growth. It's like a weird humpback kind of
gravy.
Situation.
If you drink as much gravy over the years as Big Daddy does, that gravy has to go somewhere. It will naturally settle in a flat plateau because it's liquid, just like, full of gravy.
His body's like a big egg.
Oh, he's so huge. I would love. I know it's impossible now, but I'd love to feel what Big Daddy feels like.
To be honest, there's so much. When did he die? Like, there's so much
93,
body.
I think. Yeah.
There's so much body.
Well,
I don't think it
left.
Would. I think we'll see a little bit
left. Must be. If he was cremated, they're still cremating him. Still going. Oh, man. I mean, the heels then run at Big Daddy and he just knocks them down with his shoulder. Mm. And it happens 7 times in all. And then they just go, you know what? Fuck it. And off they go and they leave. Mm. And they are counted out. Terrible end to a Big Daddy sort of final TV card. Mm. I mean, it just, why not have Big Daddy pin one of them? Who cares? Mm. Literally, the answer to that as well is no one. By this point, nobody cares about British wrestling.
Yeah.
You could have had Big Daddy just win with a pinfall. What's really odd as well is it's his final match when it cuts back to the ring to say the winners are Big Daddy, Tom Thumb, and Jason Singh. Big Daddy's not there.
Yeah.
He's just gone. So it's just Tom Thumb and Kashmir Singh. Sorry, Daddy, you have something more important to do than celebrate in the ring at your final. Oh, that's a gummy gravy. been out in 12 minutes. Big gravy, mate. It's getting cold. That is it then on British television for Big Daddy. I mean, his time as a routinely visible cultural icon who is on television on a near constant basis is over. Kent Walton sort of says very sadly, oh, what a shame it is you'll never see Big Daddy on screen again, but you can see him in the civic halls, town halls and recreation centres up and down the country. And you could. So what happens to everybody after this final match? World of Sport obviously winds up in the next month. Kashmir Singh, he pretty much just disappears. No idea what happened to him. Sid Cooper, I've got here, retires a few months later. We know that's bullshit. Big Daddy, he would keep on going. And he'd actually die in 1997 at the age of 67 in Halifax, the town in which he was born and grew up in and lived and never left. I say never left. He spent his entire life travelling round Britain, the civic halls, the town halls, the recreation centres. I did say earlier on I thought he died in 1993, so if you're online, do just put that in make it difficult for people who are doing the history of wrestling. And our last person, of course, whatever happened to Tom Thumb?
Yes.
Well, Tom Thumb went into promoting briefly. He had a thing called Four Star Promotions of Essex. And it's noted that he's a regular contributor on wrestling forums, which can be found on the internet.
Nice.
He also arranged a number of wrestler reunions in Essex. Mm. Disappointingly, they were very much like, these are not open to the public.
Okay, it was just like...
I mean, there'll be at most 12 people who want to go. It'll be me, you, John Lister, Ross and Hugh, who, yeah, you know, we always like a day out. You know, there's nobody wants to go. You might as well open the doors.
Yeah, you know? Let us watch. Yeah.
Oh, you know, no women under 20 allowed. Well, it goes without fucking saying. But Tom Thumb did retire. And he is still going. So I had a look online. He is on Twitter.
Yes.
Lots of photos he's taken.
Lovely.
From a low angle. So he genuinely does look like a thumb. he's had what seems to be a really good life. And,
oh,
you know,
I cannot stop looking at pictures that I've stolen from his Twitter and his Facebook.
Magic,
or certainly looked at. I mean, there's one shot. He's just in a Mexican restaurant and he's having a lovely old time.
Oh, he's got the
sombrero on. The next picture, he's just in a pub with his partner and friends. He's at some kind of music festival.
Yeah,
he just looks like he's having a nice time.
He does. Look, he went to see Coldplay at Wembley in 2016. He said that was pretty blooming awesome. Pretty blooming awesome, wasn't it? He's from Essex.
Pretty blooming awesome.
Oh, it's pretty blooming awesome.
No, that was pretty bloody awesome. No. That was pretty bloody awesome.
It's hard to do, isn't
it's
it?
Hard to do.
That was pretty blooming awesome. There you go. He went out for a day at Ascot. He'd become a granddad. He went to see Seal and Duran at Wembley. Pops into his hot tub, doesn't he? He likes to sit in his hot tub.
Hot tub.
Yeah.
Oh, he looks good. He looks good in that hot tub.
Oh, and there's the photo of him with Beverly Knight.
He seems to be obsessed with Beverly Knight.
He said, photo with Beverly Knight. Oh, I can't do it. Keep going to the tradition.
Photo with Beverly Knight. Photo with Beverly Knight.
Dream come true. And I found one of his tweets which really made me laugh. Watching Gogglebox the first time, not sure I get it. It's like being in anyone's house when the TV's being watched. It's exactly
Tom Thumb.
But over on Facebook, he's begun a thing where he started doing his own walking videos he will go out with his phone and he will record the little walk he does, maybe about an hour of walking.
Nice.
And he then streams them live. So this is the most recent one that he's done. And I thought you could have a little flavour of what it'd be like to go for a walk with Tom Thumb.
Good morning, everybody. It's Walking with Neil live on this 9-degree, blowy, bit different morning to what we've had for the last few weeks.
Well, he's certainly improved in his oratory.
Positively electric.
Pretty nippy this morning. Only 9 degrees. I'm going to take a walk down to the river. See if I can find the swans, because I thought I'd put some joggy bottoms on to keep my little legs warm. And I don't mind going through the stinging nettle part. I've been to Tesco's, got some stuff for school with Barbara. And now I'm starting my walk down to the river, just to the River Blackwater today. Yep, it's definitely a different morning this morning. Had a pretty good day yesterday, quite a bit more work done on the bar. And a little bit of fencing at the back of the garden as well. There's a little robin there, look.
Oh.
Very friendly.
Has he made like a lockdown bar in his cabin?
Yeah, it's pretty grey, miserable, and the outlook for the next few days looks very much the same. Watched the weather this morning. And we're not going to have a few good days. Nothing like last weekend. Which I'm sure we'll all agree, it was a cracking weekend, absolutely brilliant. Brilliant up until yesterday, really.
I mean, that's fucking electric.
Yeah.
I could watch that, and you can watch it for an hour. He's done loads of them. But, I mean, what a nice thing that Tom Thumb is still going. And when I first saw him and he did his monkey's line, I was like, this is as low as British wrestling gets. And then I watch him perform and I go, this is the wonder of British wrestling. It can look crap, and yet all of these people have this amazing backstory, this incredible ability. And some of them are still going. They're just out there living their little lives.
Yeah.
Nobody cares. And you know who does care, Pete? Me and you.
Wrestle Me Cares.
Wrestle Me Cares. That is day two of Wrestle Memus. That was Big Daddy's final match on ITV. Hey, look, and we're going to be back for day three very soon. I'm not sure which one we're going to do yet.
No, we'll figure it out.
Yeah, but you're going to hear it. And, you know, you don't have to worry about that. That is internal bullshit. Until then, wrestle me must be.
Wrestle me must mark.
Easy, easy, easy.
Yeah.